welcome to this week's episode of Time Added On. We are here to discuss Forest 3-2 defeat at West Ham yesterday. I'm going to try and keep this positive and upbeat, but I'm not happy. I'm not happy, Tom. It's been a tough 24 hours for me. It's fair to say I am copying it left, right and centre on my socials. And the school run was not good this morning. Tom, how are you? I'm very envious you've got today off. That was a very wise choice. I wish I'd also have had today off. But how is the morale? Are you over the disappointments of yesterday or is it still lingering? I have to say we did have a good day, to be honest, bar the football.
Yeah, we had a good day. I'm better than you. I've got the day off.
So. Yeah. It's not so much the work. No one's really bothered me at work. It's more the fact that I live, obviously, in deep, dark Essex. Everyone had the claret and blue hats on this morning on the way to school. It was not a good morning for me. And as I say, my WhatsApp has been lighting up like a Christmas tree. So I'm trying to keep spirits up, keep morale up, but... Yeah, it's tough. I reckon it's going to be a tough couple of weeks. I wish Forest were playing again this weekend just to get it over and
I opted to keep the Forest shirt off when my trip to Tesco earlier. So,
Sad me woolly hat on. But I mean, let's get into it. There's obviously a fair bit to talk about in terms of the 3-2 defeat yesterday. It was an interesting game, kind of topsy turvy game. Just give us your thoughts and opinions overall on the result, but also the nature of the performance, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I thought the game wasn't full of loads and loads of quality, if I'm honest, from either team. No. Considering it was a 3-2, you'd think you'd see loads and loads of good attacking play, loads of quality. But I actually thought the first half was pretty drab, if I'm honest. Mm. You know, watching it from the stands, I didn't think there was a lot between either side. And obviously, I mean, result-wise, it's very disappointing. It almost kind of feels like having the same conversation as the way that we came away from West Ham last year. Obviously, two very different results in terms of the score lines, but obviously the feeling and disappointment and you know, feeling of defeat is still there. And I think coming into the game, there was a similar kind of thought and feeling going into it as last year in terms of the pressure that was maybe on West Ham in terms of their form in the Premier League anyway, coming into this one. And where Forest were at in terms of obviously just beating Aston Villa and being on a high. So in that respect, there's probably similar feelings and thoughts to what I feel from last season as well.
Yeah, I wish we could just play 70 minutes whenever we go to the London Stadium because we'd have had a decent couple of points on the board both this season and last season for 70 minutes. It was a very similar game. It feelings, I suppose, walking away from the ground. I don't think I'm really hacked off in reality in terms of the way that second half went, but I still feel like there's a lot more positives there. I think when we walked away from the game last year, I mean, conceding those four goals in what was 20 minutes in the second half, you really feared for Forest coming away from the ground last year. And we said yesterday, didn't we, you know, where Forest were, West Ham were in the league last year, that was a bit of a blow to us at that point of the season. I don't feel as disheartened coming away from the ground yesterday. I'm more disappointed. I think we shot ourselves in the foot more than anything. But I think there was all the negatives that we'll talk about in a minute. There was a lot of positives as well. And I think coming into the game, a lot of people say West Ham, obviously, you can't get away from the fact West Ham were on poor form. They'd lost the last three league games. They did pick up a win in the week, obviously, against Olympiacos just before this. But they're not a bad side. You know, ultimately, they're on a bad run of form, but they're not a bad side. But I think a lot of people were saying it was going to be quite tight. I listened to someone on Talksport yesterday morning that said they could see this being a kind of a drab 0-0. And I think you're right. To your point, even though there were five goals in the game, I don't think it was an enthralling game in terms of the quality of strikes. It's just been... it was an error... It was a kind of an error-prone afternoon, I think, from both sides, certainly from a Forest perspective. So, really disappointment in that aspect. I thought what was also interesting yesterday was that, and we'll probably come on to talk about this, but given West Ham played in Europe on Thursday night, you felt like if you could get them to 70 minutes and tie them out, that's when Forest could get on top and could probably press for a winner if we could keep it tight for the first 70 minutes. In reverse, it almost happened in reverse. Forest got weaker, West Ham got stronger in that final 20 minutes. And I suppose that was a real disappointment for me as well in terms of how the game finished. It really did. It didn't really play out to how we envisioned it, did it? And it was really disappointing that second half. And I suppose the second half of the second half, let's say, that was the bit where we kind of shot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, and I think it's weird, you know, we're talking about a West Ham team that have just played in European competition, but I thought we looked more tired than they did in points and periods of that second half. I felt like there was players from our sides that looked like they were blowing and they were actually getting fitter and stronger within the game. So it was just disappointing in that respect. I think you know, there'll be some obvious conversations around conceding from set pieces, which we know West Ham are going to be strong from because of the certain individuals they've got in their squad that basically that is their game.
Yeah.
The set pieces and Forest were second last season in the most amount of goals conceded from set pieces behind Bournemouth, and so far this season they are, I think, either joint first or second with Bournemouth. Yeah. Again, so it's a problem area in terms of, you know, it's different personnel, but the same issues in terms of conceding from that kind of thing. And I think, you know, there must have been work during the week in terms of knowing that was going to be their strong point, but that work didn't look like it had paid off. So disappointing in that respect in terms of the goals. If you're coming away and West Ham had scored some really good goals, you are coming away going, all right, fair enough, you know, it is what it is. That's what can happen in the Premier League. But, you know, to concede the kind of goals, I think, is where the frustration lies more than anything, because it was just so obvious. You know, it was so obvious that would be the way that West Ham would score if they were going to. And, you know, it's not like they were amazing set pieces. They were, you know, how Jared Bowen is scoring from a header. You know, considering his height, no offence to him, I'm not the tallest man in the world either. But how he's scoring a header from a set piece, I don't know.
Well, I think that you've made a point. I don't think the set pieces were amazing set pieces. The third goal, the winning goal, is more of a loot cross at corner into the box, and there's just no one there. So really disappointed. I think West Ham won't score three easier goals all season, I don't think. We've kind of just gifted it to them. They needed that. They would have been looking for a win to try and get their season back up and running, if you like, in the league. And we've absolutely gifted it to them. And that's the most frustrating thing. I mean, look, there were positives. Let's talk about the positives quickly before we do talk about the you know, negatives in more detail. I think the positives I take out of yesterday was, after going a goal behind so early on and kind of literally gifting them a goal in the opening 3 minutes, Forest actually fought back into the game really well. I thought first half, as you said, wasn't a spectacle, but I think Forest at least got a foothold in the game and did cause West Ham some problems. You know, there was a save from Awoniyi that got tipped round tipped round the post. And Forest did create problems, and they got the equaliser just before half time, which was really a goal that was about team determination. I thought Sangare was brilliant in terms of winning the ball back and pressurising midfield and playing the ball early forward for Gibbs-White to obviously get a shot away and a one-year tap in about 6 yards out. So I think that was definitely a kind of, you know, a pleasing aspect of that first half. And I suppose the second goal that Forest scored was a lovely team goal. It was Forest at their best in terms of that counter-attacking. And again, we saw it last week in terms of fullbacks cutting the ball back and it going side to side. And that was a lovely movement. Again, almost typical of those two goals that Forest scored last week, where Aina obviously kind of pulls it back into an area for Alanga to coolly finish. So I thought the goals that Forest got, I thought the way they competed in certain aspects of the game, obviously not from defending set pieces, but they definitely competed. And look, as I've said, West Ham, it kills me to say, are a decent side on their day. And I thought Forest went toe-to-toe for them. I don't think, you know, we walked away from the ground last year knowing that we'd basically been played off the park for the last 20 minutes. West Ham haven't won this game because they've played Forest off the park. I thought Forest matched them. I thought they equaled them. And I suppose that's really where my disappointment is coming from. And I think Steve Cooper said in his interview after the game, didn't he, that he'd have been disappointed to get a point from this one, let alone draw it. The game was there. The game was there for Forest to win. And they've kind of blown it, in all honesty. But there was enough in there, I think, walking away, when you maybe step back, and perhaps I'm a little bit more emotional about this one than most, but I think if you step back from it and look at the overall performance, I think there's enough in there to be positive about and to take forward. But I think, you know, not to echo Steve Cooper's interview, but you just can't get over the fact that the goals that we gave away just weren't good enough. And that's clouded everything about this performance overall.
Yeah, I think there's you know, definitely some positives to take away in terms of some of the football that Forest played. But I think that's almost adding to the frustration a little bit, because I think what we've seen so far this season has been, we're almost, you know, we're kind of in that annoying, frustrating period where we can see improved performances, but, you know, managing the game and you know, that experience of managing a Premier League game still, for me, is what's lacking with Forest at times. I think we've seen that so far at the start of the season. They've played some good stuff, some good periods of play. Obviously, we've said so far that, you know, it maybe wasn't the nicest game to watch on the eye, but there was definitely still some good moments from Forest. But you know, when you're 2-1 up to concede pretty much immediately and then lose the game and not be able to turn the tide and not be able to stop that momentum, that's, you know, where Forest have lost the game. And unfortunately, you know, I'm sure we'll come on to it in a bit more detail, but the midfield three, where we've had so much to compliment them about, and they have been, you know, it's been much improved, and the individual performances have been so much better this season from that midfield three than last season, where we were worried about Forest getting ran over in games and not being able to manage games in that respect. That's probably in this one where Forest did fall down a little bit.
That
midfield three maybe dropped off a little bit in this one, and therefore I think Forest's overall management of the game dropped off as a result of it as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do agree. Forest were the better side for 15, 20 minutes. From the moment just before they scored that equaliser to make it 1-1, I thought we saw that when they came out second half, they were the better side. They should have been 2-1 up almost instantly after half time. I was still making my way back to all the way back to basically what felt like Mile End Station, before we had to walk to the back of the stands. But I was still making my way back up to the seat. And the one, you had that golden chance. I mean, how he's not scored, do you know what I mean? Mm. Put Forest ahead there. Forest were well over, but they were building. And when Forest got that second goal, they were well on top for me. They were definitely the better side in that opening exchange in the second half. And you just want them to take stock. Don't concede for that next 5 or 10. And you know how that crowd at West Ham, they were going to get on their backs. Forest just needed to hold out for 5-10 minutes, and they did. And then from that moment onwards, you were worried about Forest at 2-2, because you could see ultimately what was coming. I mean, let's talk about that midfield, because I think you're right. I think we've said it already on this pod this week that Forest were their own worst enemy, and I think the goal we conceded after 3 minutes pretty much set the tone, if you like, for the afternoon, or it certainly sets the tone of how we're seeing the afternoon. I mean, Dominguez, since he signed, has been absolutely phenomenal, and we won't therefore, you know, hound him for a bad performance at West Ham away, but it definitely wasn't his best performance in a Forest shirt. He struggled. The ball he tried to play after just 2 or 3 minutes, I really don't know what he was doing there. There was other more simple balls on. In reality, the pass he was trying to play, I suppose, was relatively simple. He just needed to put a bit more of a loft on it to get it out to Aina in the right back slot. And instead, he's obviously played it against, I think it was Sangare in midfield. And it's ricocheted off straight into the path of Paqueta. And to be fair to Paqueta, he still obviously was a wonderful finish. Nice, crisp, low into the corner. But that is not, you know, Forest's game plan would have been surely keep it tight, first 10, 15 minutes, don't give them a sniff, and then build yourself into the game. And they've just, the game plan's almost out the window after 3 minutes. And I actually thought Dominguez recovered well. I actually thought he played okay. It definitely wasn't his best game. He wasn't driving forward. You know, his press up the pitch wasn't necessarily the strongest we've seen it been in his opening games with Forest. But I thought he recovered well from the disappointment of giving the ball away so cheaply. But I mean, that really did set the tone. And going 1-0 down, it would have been the start that West Ham would have wanted again, not to harp on about their form. But I mean, for us, absolute travesty doing that. And for West Ham, perfect start. And then from then onwards, it was just that type of afternoon of Forest just shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have an awful performance. But yeah, I mean, him making that error within the first few minutes of the game and Forest conceding pretty much rips up the whole game plan, as you say. And so therefore, it changes the whole outlook. And I mean, the one thing positive I'll spin on it is that Forest didn't then just, you know, crumble after that. I mean, thought it was a pretty poor first half, as I said already, but from both sides in terms of the game, not necessarily from Forest. Maybe, you know, Forest will say that's a positive in some respects because they've kind of managed out the game without, you know, it getting worse after that point, which it could have easily after going 1-0 down so early on in the game. But yeah, I mean, that error changes the whole complexion of the game for Forest and probably what their game plan was, and it's just, you know, at that point just I mean, I suppose he will say he was just trying to make a simple pass, but unfortunately that simple pass has gone awry, and yeah, it's a good finish, but you are worried at that point after that first goal goes in that it's a long afternoon for Forest after that.
Yeah, I thought we could be in for an extremely long afternoon. But that goes back to the point I was saying at the top. You know, Forest did well then to get a foothold in the game and yeah, stem the tide. We saw Forest last season, when they conceded one, they're always likely to concede two or three. Ultimately, that's what happened in the last 20 minutes at West Ham last season. They didn't do that. They got back into it and they started playing. And I thought actually that, you know, they obviously had to rework the game plan and obviously going in search of that equaliser. But I thought they were relatively calm. They were patient. They were passing the ball round. They didn't launch it. They weren't going route one in terms of trying to force the issue straight away. They remained patient, got their just rewards with obviously the equaliser just before half time, and then obviously going 2-1 up just after half time, as we've already spoken about. But the game plan then obviously went back at 1-1, and even when Forest get themselves 2-1 in front, they wouldn't have really had a chance to change the game plan. But you've touched on it there. Forest would have known about James Ward-Prowse. Everyone knows about James Ward-Prowse. It's not a surprise. We saw him at the City Ground last year for Southampton in that really nervy injury time towards the end of the game. He was firing corners in left, right and centre. We spoke about it on the pod last week that Forest would need to be wary of that they wouldn't want to give cheap free kicks and corners away, because as you've said, we're not the best we are renowned for not being the best at dealing with those balls into the box, and when you've got the accuracy, the pace that James Ward-Prowse has, that's definitely going to cost you cause you a lot of problems. If that was the game plan, that's the one element of the game plan they did not stick to, because they gave needless free kicks away. They were giving corners away. They were basically doing anything but not giving James Ward-Prowse a chance to fire those balls into the box. And they were good. You know, and we can talk about the quality of the, you know, the set pieces for the goals, but I suppose not, you know, 8 times out of 10 he's going to fire a good ball into the box, and it was causing Forest quite a few problems. They were at 6s and 7s every time a kind of a free kick or corner was given away. And I think in contrast, if you look at Forest got themselves into some good positions, certainly even at 3-2 when Forest went down here. If you look at kind of that 5th-6th minute of injury time, Forest had a couple of opportunities out wide right and for Morgan Gibbs-White to deliver, and that's the difference, right? I thought our set pieces and our free kicks and corners and even long throws, let's be honest, they weren't good enough yesterday, and I don't think they have been good enough all season. And that was the stark difference between the two sides. Our set pieces are poor. West Ham's were good, but we just gave them too many chances to put them into the box. You just you can't give West Ham that many chances to pump those types of balls into the box, can you?
No, absolutely not. I think I said it last season in terms of when Forest got promoted. I always felt like when newly promoted sides come up, the easy win, if you like. I mean, easier said than done, but the easier win and things to look out for in terms of how to score goals would come from set pieces for newly promoted sides who are trying to make their way in this division and the quality of it. And Forest weren't great at set pieces last year. You know, so far this season, they've only scored one goal from a set piece this year. We're talking about how good West Ham are at set pieces. They've only scored four and two of them came yesterday. contrast that to the team at the top of that set piece table, which is Arsenal, and they've scored eight goals from set pieces. But you know, it just tells you Forest are joint top for conceding set pieces. They're joint bottom for scoring set pieces, and it's something that has to get better. I mean, there's a lot of obviously direct criticism for Morgan Gibbs-White, for example, because he's the one who's taking some of those corners. Look, he's still Forest's most creative player. He's still one of Forest's most talented footballers in the squad. But Forest certainly have to find a way to be better in those situations, whether that is from Morgan Gibbs-White or whether that's from someone else in the side, because there should be enough quality in there now to be better at making more of those situations. You know, scoring one goal from a set piece so far this season, that's not good enough. And especially when you're conceding them at the rate that Forest are, you know, something has to be looked at there in terms of how they can improve from set pieces in both respects, both for and against Forest, because that's where the downfall is coming at the moment.
Well, I suppose that's the difference, right? We've said that we think for the goals that the set piece delivery was all right. It wasn't amazing. It was all right. But I suppose that's the difference. There are times where we can't even get it past the first man. You know, we're drilling it into the wall or we're hitting the first defender with our corners. And it's not good enough, I don't think. I don't think the corners and set pieces that Forest have been good enough since we were promoted, as you said. That's got to change because, you know, Forest have gone away to West Ham and they've scored two goals. And that's a disappointing thing. If you score two goals, you should really, away from home, you should be coming away with something. But with a decent set piece as well, you could cause chaos and carnage. And they've got some big lads as well. You think about Niakate and Murillo, Sangare as well. They've got some big lads who can get on the end of the ball. And Forest really are missing an opportunity because if you can add a handful of set piece goals into a team that is scoring goals away from home and at home, you know, Forest are doing all right in terms of the goals for column this year, then that will be a big bonus and they'll pick up more points because, you know, it is a weapon that teams like Forest are going to need and we've got to just do it better. I don't know what they work on in terms of the training ground, etc., but there's got to be someone else in that squad outside of Morgan Gibbs-White who can fire a corner and a free kick in because... And this isn't a criticism of I'm not having a pop here at Morgan Gibbs-White because he is without doubt our best, most creative asset in the team. But his corners and free kicks are awful, let's be honest. So that has got to be sorted out. And that's got to be something that Steve Cooper looks at over the next couple of weeks. I don't think he will, by the way. I think Morgan Gibbs-White is his free kick and corner taker, you know, for the foreseeable. So I don't know if this is a change, but that's something that I'd certainly be advocating for is obviously Steve Cooper looking at making a change because it's not good enough, is it? Let's be honest. So that being said, you look, the goals that Forest gave away, it's all come from defenders not picking up the men. As you've said, Bowen being able to score the equaliser, you know, he's one of the smallest players in that West Ham team and he's got a free header. Same for the winning goal. Absolute free header. I think it was Danilo for the second or the third goal who's lost his man. Everyone's at sixes and sevens and people are talking about the subs that were made and whether that kind of meant they were a little bit disjointed. But you know as a player, if you've got a man, you've got to pick him up. And there was just a complete lack of concentration when both of those balls came into the box. And as I said, West Ham will not score too easier goals from set pieces, will they? It was really, really poor from the defenders. And I thought overall game management was naive in that last 25 minutes. I thought they were poor. It seems to be a real lack of concentration in vital times, and I don't think it's certainly not lack of effort. This Forest side do not lack effort. They do not lack spirit. There is a togetherness in there. They wouldn't have fought back into the game first half yesterday if there wasn't. But that lack of concentration is costing them dearly. It's the same against Luton in reality. And I just wonder at those key moments whether Forest have got a bit of a soft underbelly. Because I'm almost as pissed off about this one than I was the Luton game in reality. That Luton game can kind of happen. It was a bit of a freak one. But they're a little bit soft, aren't they, at times, Forest? And that's got to be something that they've got to look at and have a conversation about as a team.
Yeah, it's naivety. I think you summed it up well in terms of it's naivety. I think the comparisons to the Luton home game and this one are there to be seen. This one annoys me. When you go 2-1 up to concede straight away, I think for me, that was them shooting themselves in the foot from the off in terms of the way that the game was going to go after that. For me, I couldn't see the game going in any different direction. And they couldn't manage the game, and that comes from the way that they're managing games, the decision making that they're making. Look, the subs won't have helped in a way, but one of the positives I actually think from yesterday that I was going to say was it was good to see Forest have more strength in depth, in terms of that bench and be able to see more options on the bench in terms of having Chris Wood and Divock Origi back. One of the things that we've worried about over the last few weeks is the injuries. Therefore, we at the start of the season, or after the window closed, I suppose, we were saying, oh, look at the strength and depth we've now got. It's complete chalk and cheese to last season. There's been comparisons over the last week in terms of the midfield, for example, that we had against West Ham last year in comparison to this year. And then what you can bring off the bench as well, like Danilo having that option off the bench as well. And then we're almost, after the game, going, well, actually, the subs and that strength and depth is what hurt us because we're changed. But that shouldn't happen in games. You should be able to still, when you're making a sub in a game, it shouldn't disrupt you in the way that people are saying that those subs disrupted Forest. Look, some of them were forced and maybe wouldn't have been the decisions that would have been made at that point in the game if they weren't forced in terms of people having to come off due to injury, fatigue, whatever it is. But I can see, a 1 year, for example, we know his injuries being managed, but it shouldn't have the impact that it had on Forest yesterday, regardless of whether it's forced or whether. We know that Forest are going to make, in most matches, they're going to use their, full allocation of substitutes because, of managing fitness and managing injuries that Forest have got. So therefore, we can't use that as an excuse every single time when those players are coming off, because they should be good enough to be able to manage a game out, especially against a team who I don't think were actually that good on the day. But Forest just showed their naivety and weak underbelly, as you call it, on that day in terms of some of the stupidity in terms of the goals they conceded. I don't think we can blame subs for that being the issue in terms of why Forest lost that game. It was naivety.
No, it was. Naivety is definitely the best way to summarise it. It wasn't. I've seen a lot of people say in the last 24 hours since the game finished that there was a lot of panic in that Forest side, that there's a little bit of a, I suppose, not a, there was a panic amongst the players and a panic amongst the fans. I didn't sense that at the game yesterday. I didn't sense that West Ham were getting on top of Forest and that there was an air of panic. I just felt that the Forest just lacked concentration and they made errors in vital parts of the game. I, that's the way I kind of see it. And it's something they've got to look at because they're doing it far too often. And look, people will say, and people have said it a lot, though, this, we're progressing, the team's progressing. Yesterday wasn't on that either. It wasn't on progression. It wasn't about the nature of the performance. It wasn't about not having regular game time as a group or about, trying to embed new signings. The goals weren't given away because of that. I actually thought the overall performance, if you just take away the free opportunity that we gifted them, I actually thought the performance was quite good. As the way performances go, overall, Forest did okay. Back to my point at the start, they competed. They they looked a hell of a lot better than they did when we went there in February. And we had, I think it was only Morgan Gibbs-White in the starting 11 yesterday, started that game. So Forest are a completely different outfit. So the performance was good. Those three goals were just pure down to mistakes. And I think, yes, the subs that Steve Cooper made, a lot of people have gone, I've seen a lot of people criticise Steve Cooper in the last 24 hours going, why does he make three subs at points of the game? And obviously that disruption stopped the flow of the game and put Forest under pressure. But I disagree completely that in terms of I don't think it was the reason that Forest conceded those. It was 2-2, right, when Forrest made the three subs. So I don't think it led to the disruption that we'd seen for the third goal, because we'd already seen the same level of disruption for the second goal, right? So those three subs can't be labelled at that. He didn't have a choice, though. So the fact that Steve Cooper's coming under criticism for those subs, and we were very critical of Steve Cooper for the subs he made against Luton, but I'll defend him on this one, because Murillo couldn't walk. He had a hamstring injury. One, you look knackered because, as you said, he was coming back from injury, and after 70 minutes, that was his race run. And Aina wasn't; he was starting to look leggy in the right back spot as well. So he had no choice but to make those subs. He throws Origi on towards the end, in hope of trying to get the equaliser. It nearly paid off, let's be honest, as well. Origi nearly scored in the last minute of the match. And I actually thought Danilo played really well second half when he came on, bar obviously, his part in the goals conceded. I thought he played really well in driving Forest forward. He was important at the start of the movement for the second goal. And I'm really excited, we said last week, to see Danilo back. And I think whether he starts and Steve Cooper decides to rotate that three-man midfield, or Danilo has more of an impact off the bench, he's got a lot of energy and he can drive the side forward. So I actually thought, in part, the five subs that Forrest made were okay. And Steve Cooper can't really... I don't think Steve Cooper, for yesterday, can have much of the blame put on his door. I think the bulk of it has got to stop with the players. And he was as frustrated as we were in his post-match interview. I've never really seen or heard Steve Cooper as pissed off as he was yesterday. And obviously had a few frank words to say about his players and their part in the three goals that we conceded. But I don't really get the whole criticism of Steve Cooper yesterday. It's bonkers, that one. But obviously that's the narrative at the minute. Whenever anything goes wrong, it's quick to kind of label it at Steve Cooper. But it's got to be down to the players, this one.
Yeah, but I mean, look, there'll always be criticism for the manager, coach, whatever you want to call it. In the modern game, that's where the first thought of criticism comes through. Look, I don't know what training's been done during the week in terms of, defending set pieces and things like that, but I'm pretty sure there would have been work, in which case then the players, do have to shoulder most of the blame. Look, there was definitely... We're at a point of probably frustration with Forest, because you're coming off of a really good performance, Aston Villa, which came off the back of some really frustrating performances that fans were starting to get a little bit jittery about. And then it's followed up with this, which is disappointing and frustrating. But then Forest could go, unfortunately, we've got a bit of a gap now and we've got the international break, but Forest follow this up with a win at home to Brighton for a run of games. That it's quickly forgotten about. That's the point we're at with Forest. We're blowing hot and cold in a way, which I think is where the frustration is coming from. We can see that there is definitely some huge signs of improvement from last season, but the results aren't necessarily following that narrative completely in most respects in terms of what we've done so far this season. So, look, the players do have to shoulder the blame for that inconsistencies. But, we're at a point where I think we need to see a little bit more consistency in terms of the results that we're seeing. And that, luckily, in some respects, Forest now have two home games off the back of this, which we know that Forest are naturally better at home. Their home form has obviously been what kept them up last season. And albeit it's not been maybe the same level this season, they are still... the City Ground is still a fortress for Forest in terms of the run of form that they've got. So, it's good that Forest have two home games, I think, after this one to try and, you know, right their wrongs, if you like, from this West Ham performance.
Yeah, definitely. Look, the next run of games, I think we've got six games now in the run-up to Christmas, four of which are at home. And the two away games are good opportunities for Forest to build on the positive aspects of what we saw yesterday away at Fulham and Wolves, although Wolves, you know, are obviously on a good run of form themselves, so that won't be easy. But, yeah, I think we are inconsistent. I think the inconsistency in results and performance can be expected a touch. As we said, we did probably think there was going to be a bit of an up and down. But I think my frustration is just, I think Forest should have more points on the board. I think their performances in the main have warranted more points on the board. But United away, Luton home, West Ham away are examples where we've been our own worst enemy. And we've said that a lot on this pod this season. So I'm not so worried in the fact that I think, you know, they'll probably learn from it. As long as they learn from the mistakes yesterday and they go away and they work, and I'm sure they will because that's the type of manager coach that Steve Cooper is. As long as they learn from it and they come back and you know, they build that into their performances moving forward, I think I've seen enough so far to know that Forest are going to be okay and they're going to be good, and they are showing signs that they are a good side. We certainly made West Ham think about a few things yesterday and we caused them problems. So I think, look, overall, over the course of 90 minutes yesterday, I think personally a draw would have been a fair result. I mean, what, you know, other than the goals Forest gave away, overall performance, I thought we equaled West Ham.
Yeah, I think just about. I think, we were pretty much equal. Like I said, I don't think it was the greatest game of football. But I do think, yeah, which is a weird thing to say considering there was five goals. But yeah, I think we were pretty much equal to West Ham. I think the frustration comes from, you know, I was saying to someone before the game yesterday, you if you win that game, you're looking, you know, above. You're looking what's in front of you. You're looking at climbing up the table. And if you lost the game, unfortunately, you still have to look over your shoulder, a little bit. And that's where Forest are at right now. You know, Forest still are a team that, you know, where they are in the table, albeit there is a bit of a gap. You know, they are still having to look over their shoulder, and it's the inconsistencies that are playing a part in that. The performances and the improvements that we're seeing year on year are there for everyone to see, and you know, that's an easy thing to keep bringing up. But without the results, you know, that actually, unfortunately, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's interesting, the Premier League, I mean, isn't it? Because I don't think by any sort of coincidence, the bottom six of the Premier League is made up of the six teams that have been promoted both last season and this season. You know, Forest sitting at the top of that pecking order, if you like, sat in 15th, just above Fulham and Bournemouth. We've obviously the three teams that got promoted this year making up the bottom three. But that in itself is quite telling, right, in terms of how hard it is to break into that mid-table and above echelons of the Premier League. Now, I still think Forest have got enough about them to do that this year, and I'm still very much in the camp of Forest. I said it last week, probably somewhere between 10th to 14th is where I see Forest progressing as they continue to build, performances get better, a couple of additions in January, which you would expect Forest to strengthen again. I think there's definitely enough for Forest to finish in that mid-table bracket. But you're right, until Forest find that consistency of performance and result, and they start picking up the points, certainly away from home, that they think they deserve, then you're always going to have one eye over your shoulder. But I think overall, look, they are making progress. You can see it. We're disappointed. We know it's probably been a bit more of a harsher pod than we probably have recorded in recent times. But it's that disappointment of knowing that Forest should have got something from the game, could have won it, should have got a point, and then they've come away with a defeat, and it's madness. But bad day at the office. Where are you sat in terms of, look, is it concerns to take forward? Are you still happy? Are you still content with what you're seeing outside of those mistakes? There's plenty of positives to build upon. Let's try and end on a more positive note, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, look, Forest are, I'm not sure this is the professional term, but Forest are a smidge from being the team that we maybe want them to be, or expecting them to be, maybe a little bit at this moment in time. They're not far away at all, but you know, they do have to cut out mistakes. But without those mistakes, we are seeing some really good performances. You know, let's not forget about the performance at home to Aston Villa. But, you know, the one thing that has to improve is the away form. We thought that would happen this season. We said it had to happen this season because we didn't think their home form would be maybe as strong as it was last season. I think that that remains the case for me. So, but I don't think we are far away at all from being where we maybe want or expect to be at this moment in time. And albeit that might not sound like a huge, huge positive in the way that I've put it, I think that is a positive to take with the games that Forest have coming up. It's now they have to make the most of those opportunities that they're ahead of them. And if they do, then, you know, the maybe negativity, if you like, of what we've spoken about today is forgotten about quite quickly. That's where Forest are at. That's, you know, kind of the up and down situation, frustration period that we're at with Forest at this moment in time. Yeah. You know, one good result flips the whole, you know, look and view of everything completely. That's kind of how close it is to Forest being where we kind of want them and expect them to be at this moment in time.
Yeah, I'd echo everything you said there. This whole conversation on yesterday is just more born out of frustration, right? I think if you step back and you look at it, Forest are progressing. A smidge is probably a good way of putting it in terms of they're not a million miles away from being a good side away from home. We saw that in spells yesterday afternoon. They just got to keep their calm, composure. They've got to keep their concentration levels up for 100, you know, 90 minutes, 100 minutes. That's the next test for Forest, because if they could do that and they could cut out those mistakes, Forest are going to pick up points home and away. I'm confident of that. They are getting there. They are definitely a hell of a lot better than what they were 12 months ago. You know, if you think back to the performances just before the World Cup last year, Forest are a much better side and they are in a much better position. And I think that will come. And as I say, I think as the games tick through, I think you'll start to see the true Forest probably around the Christmas time, post-Christmas time. And as I say, they'll add again. They'll probably add two or three more in January. There'll be a bit of a squad, hopefully an evolution in January. You know, we don't need any more than a couple of signings in kind of key areas just to give Steve Cooper a few more problems, but a few more options, if you like. And I think Forest will get there. And I think that's where we're at the minute. Yeah, it's frustrating because we can see it coming. Everyone can see that Forest should be getting more from some of these performances and they're not, and that's the frustration. But yeah, good run of games now right up until the Christmas period. I think the Brighton game's a good run. I think Brighton at home and Everton home is going to be a couple of really interesting games. But Everton obviously absolutely flying at the minute under Sean Dyche, and they're a dangerous side away from home. So I think both those games will be a really good test of this Forest side, and there'll be two different types of tests, won't they? The Brightons are a good side in terms of they like to play football. They'll get at you. We saw what Forest did to Brighton last year, so we'll be hoping for the same again. Everton, very different to Brighton in terms of they're tough, they're physical. They'll get about the pitch, they're quite aggressive. Both of those games will be different tests for this Forest side of the makeup, but it'll be interesting to see how Steve Cooper utilises his squad. But should we leave it there? And if you've got any other builds you'd like to add, Tom, anything else to add to that? Or
absolutely not. I'm looking forward to sitting in a shipping container soon.
Well, literally, just as we've there's so many gags on X at the minute about Forest not being great with corners, etc., etc. There's too many on there. But yeah, Forest are about to utilize shipping containers
you've built on what I said, otherwise it just sounds weird that I'm saying that I'm going to be sat in a shipping container
soon. It's an extreme issue to deal with the fact that we can't defend corners by filling the corners in with shipping containers. But yes, add about 500 to 1,000 additional seats. It was actually a novel idea, and I didn't really pay too much attention, obviously, to the World Cup last year. I didn't even realise there was a whole stadium built out of shipping containers. So that shows you how much I cared about the Qatar World Cup last year. But novel idea, interesting idea. Why not? why not? If it adds a few more bums to seats and gets a little bit more revenue and hopefully adds to what is already a fantastic City Ground atmosphere, why not? I think it's a great idea. And obviously the new chairman's kind of come up with that as his groundbreaking scheme. But yeah, I'm all for it, Tom. It's be interesting to see those corners filled in, won't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think as long as the plans are still on to try and develop the City Ground further, and you know, it's not a replacement for those ideas, which I'm sure it's not, and it doesn't sound like it is, but you know, as long as, you know, I mean, it would say to me that maybe, unfortunately, that idea of developing the Peter Taylor stand isn't as close as maybe we'd like it to be, because otherwise you wouldn't be.
It's not going to happen next summer, is it? Ultimately. No.
But you know, I still think any kind of idea to develop the City Ground is a good thing for the club and you know, future proofing ourselves a little bit more.
I can't go without one last subtle dig at West Ham, but get honest to God, we know how much we love the City Ground anyway. But give me a 30,000 or 31,000 seater City Ground over a 60,000 seater soulless bowl that we saw yesterday. I mean, that is not for me. We were being unfortunate, I suppose, in the fact that the 2 years that we've been in the upper tier right towards the back. But my God, that is a soulless ground, isn't it? I couldn't be going there. The fact that we went for a little walk around the shopping centre pre-match sums it up. Do you know what I mean? It's not for me at all. Am I being arsed there, or is it as bad as...
Well, I think the business people at the club might think slightly different in doubling the attendance.
Yeah, they've probably got a few quid. But if you're happy to sell your soul, I mean, there was a song in that. I'm not going to repeat it. We might have a few family audiences listening. But anyway, let's leave it there. I'm just bitter and twisted. I've got to go back and do the score running before he's starting in a minute anyway. So, right, we're going to be back. We're not going to do a Brighton preview today. We're going to come back next week. We'll do a Brighton preview. We'll actually have a little look at that mini run of games right up until the Christmas time and kind of look at what Forest all hope for and need across that period. As always, you can get in contact with us. You can email us at timeaddedonpod@outlook.com. You can give us a follow on X, which is @timeaddedonpod. And also, please give us a follow and a like and leave a review on Spotify and Apple. Otherwise, enjoy the... Well, 2 weeks off now, innit? 2 weeks off. We'll be back next week. But enjoy the break. Keep smiling. Come on, you Reds.